Last night in the Clarion Hotel in Limerick, the group New Beginning hosted a seminar aimed at people who find themselves in debt or in mortgage arrears. There was a particular focus at the seminar on dealing with stress and how to apply rational thinking to difficult situations. Brian O'Connell attended the seminar last night and spoke to some of those who were there. He joins us now from the Limerick studios. Brian, big turnout?
Yeah, there was actually, Pat. The room was full. It was in the Clarion Hotel. So I would say upwards of about 100 persons, somewhere between 80 and 100. And they had to bring in additional seating. So yeah, it outweighed their expectations. It was called a bounce back seminar, Pat. There were two main speakers on the night. First was Morgan O'Connell. He's a financial advisor and he's been working, I guess, at the coalface, really trying to help people out of debt difficulties. And he talked around some of the present solutions and options open to people, as well as the ramifications of the personal insolvency bill. And then the second person was psychologist Shane Martin. He's from Mood Watchers movement. And he kind of talked about a Paul O'Connell-esque spirit that he was trying to introduce. And he gave a humorous and insightful advice around mental health and, you know, effectively dealing with stress and depression.
Now, you met a man who spoke about how his financial difficulties have impacted on his mental health.
I'm in a difficult situation that myself and my wife, I'm separated, and I'm possibly looking at negative equity. And every time the postman comes and puts the letters in the box, I go out and I open it, and when it's a letter from my financial institution, and I'm probably like one of a lot of people who would prefer to kind of bury my head in the sand, but I have to do things about it now because it's getting to a critical stage, and I don't want to be losing my home. It's very hard. It's because you tend not to sleep. You tend to be. It's just that you can't see. It's like somebody puts a big barrier in front of you. You can't see over the barrier. And that's my own personal experience of it. I'm not very good at kind of putting it better into words, but I just find it very, very difficult. It's just like you run into a wall, and you just it takes me a couple of days to just get out of a bad mood, and then it kind of relieves itself for a short period of time, and then it just keeps coming back and back and back. I have difficulty that I wouldn't have a wide circle of friends, but the more people you talk, it's a load that shared. You don't like speaking one-on-one to your male friends and stuff like that. You don't want to be letting yourself, your macho kind of image, fall down, because you're a man. You know, you're not supposed to have these kind of feelings. You're supposed to be, you know, just grin and bear it and take it and, you know, just get on and keep going and going.
Keep going and going.
Just so happened, Pat, that about three of the men I spoke to had all recently separated or gone through marriage breakups. And I think for them especially, being able to come together with others in a room last night and publicly acknowledge, you know, that A, they have problems, and B, that there may be a way out, it was quite a therapeutic exercise. And you could almost see really the sense of shame and stigma being lifted from them that many of them probably felt. One of the younger couples there, Pat, they were in their early 30s, and they told me about their issues.
Our family home is in danger. We're basically thinking of moving, but we're thinking at the moment of voluntarily selling, but we're really worried about the shortfall. We've no other choice.
And how much would that shortfall be, roughly?
I'd say now, between loans and shortfall, it could be in the region of 80 to 100,000. It's not just a case of, okay, here's the keys and let's all go. You have to think of your children, your career, and also you have to be in the right frame of mind. It impacts on everything you do, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but it's like something you learn to live with and something you learn to manage.
We're just lucky that we are a strong family.
And when you look back now, do you feel that you took on debt that was unsustainable, or is it more that...
At the time, it was sustainable because I had working, and the two of us were working, and we were able to afford it. And when we went to the bank, like we were first-time buyers, we thought that they were the experts giving us advice, and they advised us what way to go. And we took their advice, and obviously now we're in the situation that we're in.
We were told, we'll give you the Rolls-Royce package. We were leaving the room, come back, I just have something else to tell you, we'll give you the Rolls-Royce package. And those words echo in my head sometimes when I'm having a weak moment. I think, my God.
Oh, that is incredible. The Rolls-Royce package. Mm. I mean, that clearly would appear to be unwise lending on the part of the lender, but seemingly reckless lending is not a crime in this jurisdiction. Anyway, they sound like a strong couple doing their best to work through their situation. I know they talked to you about getting a lot of unsolicited calls from their lender until they put their foot down, which they did. Tell us about the others, some of the others you met.
Yeah, one thing I have to say, Pat, is that many of the people left with a spring in their step. I met one man and he is with a subprime lender and he took out a mortgage in 2006 of €103,000. I think he had €80,000 himself to purchase the property and he's been paying that back ever since. He's paid back about €52,000, he was telling me, and only 4,000 of that is off the principal. And at the time, the broker told him that if he went with a subprime lender, he could then switch, you know, to a Main Street lender. The broker has since gone out of business and he's now stuck on this incredibly high interest rate and he's having sleepless nights. Another lady I met, Pat, she was there because her son is having his house repossessed. And she spoke to me very strongly about the guilt she felt as a mom for having told her son to buy a house. And she said they grew up in local authority housing and their aim really was whenever possible they were going to own their own home. And she, you know, stressed this to her kids. Her son isn't dealing with it very well. So she was there getting advice on his behalf.
Now, you chatted to a man who was in difficulty with his mortgage since 2011 and we can hear some of his story now.
I've been writing to the bank. I haven't really talked to anyone. Writing to the bank. It's been the home, family home since 1987. I took out a mortgage with a permanent TSB in 2004 when money was cheap for $250,000, kind of, you know. And my income was very good at the time. In 2011, I couldn't afford to pay it any longer, and that was it, kind of. And ever since then, I've been writing to the bank, discussing with the bank. They've threatened to take it off me. And I don't know where it is going, really. I really don't know where it is going, hence why I'm here tonight, kind of. Now, I'm on Job Seekers at the moment as well, so...
How much is that?
Well, seeing I was self-employed, last year it was €92 a week. This year it is €153 a week.
Had you people employed at one stage?
I had 15 people at one stage, and then down to 6, and now I couldn't afford to apply myself even. What do you do? That's the question I keep asking myself day in, day out. What do I do? Kind of, I can't even afford to take a sister. I mean, the boom started for me in 1994 because I moved down to Limerick 2 or 3 years previous and it kind of turned around in 1994 and steadily got better and better every year, kind of, until 2008. It just literally, the tap turned off.
If you look back in hindsight now, I know lots of people got carried away, but is there anything you do different?
I thought I was making wise investments. I really did. I didn't ever go mad. I'm not into drink. I'm not into flash cars or something like that. Kind of everything was kind of planned, and the tap just turned off.
Tap just turned off. Tap, so he has a mortgage off, yeah. Of how much?
€250,000 on the family home. He took out the mortgage to refurbish the house. He'd worked in construction, I think, for 37 years, Pat. And he was telling me he's been reskilling, you know, he's taken a course in IT, but so far he hasn't had any success with work. And I talked to other men there who are now, you know, finding themselves having to go for job interviews or go through the application process, and they're finding it very difficult. But I noticed that particular man was getting a lot of advice at the end from one of the barristers present. There was a number of barristers present. So fingers crossed, Pat, that he can come to some resolution. But he told me anyway that he had minimal constructive engagement from his lender.
Finally, Brian, you met one couple who were in business. They were put into receivership because of loans due to the former Anglo-Irish Bank, and this is some of their story.
Just as my husband had put a business proposal together, they put us into receivership, and it has just been hell from that day to this. In fact, it has been so stressful. My husband had to have heart surgery some time ago.
And you feel that is related or was exasperated by the dealings with Anglo?
Oh, it was, yes, without a doubt. You know, and the amount of money I owe to Anglo is very small. But yes, they used a hammer to crack a small nut, you know.
When you say very small, are we talking hundreds of thousands or millions?
In the low hundreds. When you fail here in Ireland. It's seldom you get a second chance and it's very difficult to come back. But I don't consider that I have failed. I mean...
It's people like my husband who have been the backbone of business life in Ireland over the years. My husband was employing about 10 people, was it?
10 people.
10 people at one stage.
It's very stressful, but you learn to cope. with the simple things. Going for a walk, going into the church to say a prayer.
That has been a huge salvation for him in a sense, really, you know what I mean?
We weren't speculators at all. No. You know, we just bought a bit of property and we're trying to secure our future.
Yeah. Mm. Two of our children have chronic health problems. So with that in mind, we wanted to secure their future. I have a profession, I'm a teacher, so I was quite content with what I had.
You leave here tonight with a renewed sense of hope, maybe?
Yes, and hope and a sense that, thank God, we're not alone and that there are people out there who are willing to give their time and their services to help.
Oh, well, Brian, these seminars, yep. Sounds very interesting what happened last night. They carry on?
They continue every Thursday, Pat, for the next number of weeks. So next week is Cork, then it's on to Galway, Sligo and Dublin. The website is newbeginning.ie and the organisation, Pat, will advocate and negotiate on people's behalf if you want them to. There is a fee involved, but it is a not-for-profit organisation.
All right, Brian O'Connell, thank you very much for joining us from Limerick.